This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Life a fortune and fame. I'd even cut my hair and change my name. Cause we all just want to be big rock stars and live in hilltop bosses driving 15 cars.
Yeah. That's right. 206, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. All right. How are we doing on this Monday morning? We've made it. The end of the weekend. We start this week of the All-Star break. Both teams kind of limping in off of a loss, I suppose, on Sunday. The Mets do take the series. The offense continues to struggle, and they didn't miss an opportunity to head into the All-Star break in first place, but they are a half a game back of the Phillies. They did take two out of three from Kansas City, and they pitched extremely well in the series. They just continue to really struggle offensively, going back to the doubleheader. Really, I mean, they got the big home run from McNeil against the Yankees on the 4th of July game. Then they exploded offensively. Then they battle back after being shut down pretty much the entire game in Baltimore and have that really thrilling win with the Lindor two-run home run, the Alonso home run, and then the extra inning win with Soto getting the base hit that scores the run. Then they have that ugly doubleheader where they let pitchers off the hook left and right. They continue to struggle. That first game of the first doubleheader, second and third, nobody out, with Soto and Alonso coming up, and they can't get it done. We've seen Vientos kind of come through. That's been a major positive, as we'll do a little bit as we get through the week. Maybe we'll do it here coming up in a few of the guys we want to see turn around and have a better second half or start to perform in the second half. And without question for the Mets, to me, that is Mark Vientos. We saw him come through with the big bases clearing double in the hit that gave them the lead against Kansas City. He had a triple. Like, if he can start to be the player he was last year, that's going to help this team more than any trade could possibly help them. That's how important he was to this team last year. But the offense continues to just not score enough runs. They don't score any runs until the ninth inning in this game. They do come back and tie it at 2-2, but lose it in the bottom of the ninth. But they've just been too inconsistent and not good enough with runners in scoring position. And they had an opportunity to head into the All-Star break in first place. Instead, they're a half a game behind. And the Yankees missed opportunities too, as Toronto lost the last two games to the A's. I wonder if everyone in Toronto sports radio is saying the team's not going to make the playoffs after losing two in a row to the lousy A's. But they lost the last two. It would have been an opportunity to be tied for first place. They would be in second place by the tiebreaker because Toronto has beaten the Yankees in the regular season, but that was an opportunity. And coming off of the 11-0 first game of this series against the Cubs to kind of just be completely shut down by Boyden Imanaga was a difficult look. And obviously, we have to talk about the shortstop. Anthony Volpe has been the talking point of really the season. And you want to talk about guys who need to pick it up in the second half. You know, Gio said this a few weeks ago. I've been saying it from the beginning of the year. But we are at the point right now where Anthony Volpe is playing to be the shortstop of the New York Yankees. I said it coming into the season that if he had the same offensive year that he had in his two previous seasons, I don't know if you can look at him as the starting shortstop for the Yankees next season. And I don't think there's anything to be done now. I just really don't. I know we want the Yankees to be holding people accountable, and if you're not good enough, you can't play. Sending him down to the minors right now, although it looks like it's working for Alvarez with the Mets. He's hit his eighth home run, and we'll see how quickly he's going to be called up because, you know, Torrens is not a starting everyday catcher. He's just not, and he's being exposed for that the more he plays. I don't view sending Anthony Volpe down to play Peraza at shortstop as a viable option for this team. Anthony Volpe has to play his way through this. And right now, it is a mental as much as it is physical problem for Anthony Volpe. And watching him play, now look, to be fair, because I like to be fair, Jazz has got to do a better job of playing first baseman on the bag there. But Anthony Volpe, on multiple occasions now, has just not been aggressive on those types of plays. And he was to start his career. Again, is he the greatest defensive shortstop? No. Is he a gold glove? You know, what did that gold glove surprise me a little bit that he won his rookie year? Yeah, I mean, but he still was a top defensive shortstop in the game. I mean, you don't win the gold glove by accident. It's not completely made up. Did I think he had a gold glove caliber season? It was good enough to win the gold glove. He is not anywhere near that now. He's not anywhere near that now. He makes a great play earlier in the game. A lot of range to get to the ball, but he can't complete the play and throws the ball up the line. Leads to the fourth and final run for the Cubs. And it's just like right now, his offense, like if you look at him, he is, and again, I don't think it's an easy answer. Because if you look at it, and I know, you know, John Boy, they talk about this a lot, and they're right. Like, he's tried at times to cut down on his swing, put the ball in play, and forego power. His rookie season, he had 20 home runs. Last year, nothing like that. And he tried to slow his swing down, because you can talk directly. Bat speed is direct contact. Giancarlo Stanton has the fastest bat speed in Major League Baseball. That's why he swings and misses so much. And the slower bat speeds tend to make more contact. What's his name with San Diego, who everybody wanted to join the Yankees, and for some reason his name is escaping me at the moment. Luis Arraez. He has the slowest bat speed in Major League Baseball. Bat speed is directly correlated to contact. And Anthony Volpe last year tried to play to contact and slapped the ball the other way. It didn't work for him. Now, I'm not saying that shouldn't be his approach, but it's not like he's never tried it. And he wasn't successful at that either. It's not as simple as choke up on the bat, slap at it to send it the other way. It's not as easy as we think it is, and Anthony Volpe has proven not to be good at that either. He went back to swinging hard during the postseason, had success. He's gone back to it this year. And for the first 65 games of the season, he was having a far better offensive year. And it has come crashing down. And watching him play every day is, you know, you could tell he is mentally broken. Now, that's the only reason why I would consider sending him down for a stretch, but I just don't know if that is anything that makes sense for this team and where they are right now, and I don't see the Yankees doing it, and I don't see the Yankees attempting to add a shortstop and giving up on Anthony Volpe at this point. I just don't see it. And I don't know if I want to give up on him either, because I know a better player is in there. But right now, he looks completely lost. He continues to be a problem. Nobody needs the All-Star break more than Anthony Volpe. And I've seen already some people, the Yankees have drafted, the first two picks they've made were shortstops. That is not, if anybody thinks that is some sort of message to Anthony Volpe, that first of all, You know how many kids come into the draft as shortstops because they're the best player on their college team or the best player on their high school team, and then they move to other positions? Just because you're drafted as a shortstop doesn't mean that's where you're going to end up. And you take the best athletes. Like, it's not, that is not a message. Anthony Volpe's not sitting there tonight going, man, they drafted nothing but shortstops. I'm in trouble. Like, that is nothing. You got to go through the minor leagues. You know how long it takes? That is not a message at Anthony Volpe. I'm telling you right now, the Yankees believe in Anthony Volpe, and Anthony Volpe is the shortstop for the New York Yankees. Just deal with it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
What's up? How are you?
Before I make my I had a question. This has been like kind of on my mind since Thursday, and you're the guy to speak to about this. And it was like, because we always kill Mendoza and Boone, and you watch every Yankee at bat. Do you remember the game, that big comeback in the pit inning that they came back in the 10th inning? Why on earth did the Seattle manager walk Goldschmidt there with Judge two batters away? That made absolutely no sense to me. You remember that?
Which game was this?
This was the Thursday night game, the big comeback. Uh-huh. The get back, right? So the Yankees had one guy on second, one out, and he had Goldschmidt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. When he pinch hit him.
Right. You put a Goldschmidt for Dominguez. Now, the only way you get out of that inning and don't have to face Judge is to get both Goldschmidt and Grisham out. And this guy walks Goldschmidt. Now you put all the pressure on the lefty hit pitcher getting Grisham out. And then he walks Grisham. Now you have to face Judge with the bases loaded. You couldn't. To me, that was the point.
No, totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And, you know, a bunch of people immediately got on Boone. Oh, why would you take out Dominguez to put in Goldschmidt only to be walked? And I'm like, well, the walk just led I don't know if it was brilliant on his part necessarily. I don't think he thought he was getting walked. I mean, to your point. Now, if Grisham hits into a double play with a bad hamstring, that would be the end of the inning. But they didn't want that runner at third. They thought it sets up the double play, and at worst, if we get him out, Judge needs to come through with a hit, not just a sacrifice fly. I disagreed with it, and I thought, like, I got a bunch of people hit me up on Twitter. Boone's an idiot. He's pinch hitting for our best hitter in Dominguez, which he's not right-handed.
No.
He's pinch hitting Dominguez only to have him walk. It's so dumb. And I'm like, it just led to Judge up with the bases loaded and one out. Like, that was a dumb walk. I completely agree with you.
There was even yesterday in the Met game, the Mets got their third run. They had two outs, a guy on second, a righty relief pitcher. And what's his name? Quintero, this Kansas City. He pitched to McNeil with first base open with Tyrone Taylor on deck. Yeah. The point is...
Yeah, no, we never point to other managers making key critical mistakes. Well, it's only Boone and Mendoza. If you're a Met fan, Mendoza. If you're a Yankee fan, obviously Boone. We never want to hear that the other managers make mistakes. We never want to talk about how, you know, it's always they're the worst manager. You know, Boone's an idiot. He gets outmanaged in every game. And we don't manage it critically. We don't look at it fairly at all.
Before they won a World Series last year, they were ready to run Davey Roberts out on a rail in L.A. You know, and the guy in Toronto makes some weird moves. The guy in Cleveland makes some strange moves in the playoffs.
Oh my God! He kept pitching to Stanton. It was unbelievable.
Oh, I couldn't believe that. As a guy who was rooting against the Yankees, Yankee haters, who was driving us crazy.
Yeah.
The whole thing, which we have all week to talk about Stearns and everything. Mm-hmm. The question that's a big mystery to me is I don't. No, everybody says, well, Stearns doesn't want to give up prospects. I tend to agree with that. But it's not like Cashman. Cashman has his hand on every single person in that Yankee organization. A guy like Jet Williams, we don't know how Stearns feels about a guy like Jet Williams. He didn't draft Jet Williams.
Right.
Or Clifford, or even guys like, you know, Tong or McClain. He didn't draft any of these guys.
No.
He might not think so highly of these guys as we think he does. That's the big question.
And we have not seen him operate. This is going to be new. Last year was not like this. This is the year you have to go out there and win. And thank you for the call. And again, the only thing I'll say about the pitching prospects for the Mets is it's tough to move them. I find it tough to move them. If they're going to operate and try and build the rotation in the manner in which they try to build it, you need to fill that rotation with guys from the minor leagues. Like, it's just part of it. You have to. It doesn't have to be your ace necessarily. If you could find that elsewhere, you know, you sign Senga or Manaea turns into it, or one of these guys turn into your ace. But you have got to have good, dependable starting pitching coming from your minor league system if you want to handle the rotation the way they want to handle it. So to me, unless you're trading for a young, controllable starting pitcher, I don't know how you move starting pitching, how you move pitching prospects. I just don't know how you do it. So to me, it's all about Jet Williams. It's all about Tong is the pitching prospect. It's all about, you know, trading guys like that. Trading guys like, I'm trying to think of you got Carson Benj again. Yeah, Ryan Clifford. That's what I was thinking of. It's all about Jet Williams and Ryan Clifford and Drew Gilbert. Like, those are the prospects that were acquired, and some of those were traded for by Stearns. Again, and I don't even know if, like, again, Stearns, it was such a poorly kept secret that he was eventually going to take over, that part of me thinks that he had a lot to do with those deadline moves and getting rid of Scherzer and getting rid of Verlander and bringing in prospects. Like, part of me thinks, you know, cynically, that he was somehow involved in those, because it was such a poorly kept secret that he was going to be the next guy. But yeah, we're going to find out how he operates and how aggressive the Mets want to be here. And it feels like, and this was kind of the opening of the show, I want, you know, it kind of feels like the Yankees and Brian Cashman want to be super aggressive here. And that means trading, maybe even, you know, we saw Schlittler throw 100 miles an hour. He might be on his way out. Spencer Jones, we've heard a ton about, and he's finally, I know he strikes out still a bit too much for a lot of people's liking, he's having a monster season. He is the biggest power bat in minor league baseball right now. He is. He's hitting 450-foot home runs. He's absolutely destroying AAA pitching. Is this the kind of guy you want to move for short-term gratification to go chase a championship? And it sounds like the Yankees want to go be aggressive. So we'll see how they handle that. But I'm fascinated by this trade deadline. Because, one, trade deadlines suck nowadays. They need to move it back. I don't know who's buying. I don't know who's selling. You're seeing some reports that the Braves would be selling a little bit. You see some reports that the Orioles might be selling. We all know that there are certain teams like the Pirates and the Rockies and teams who are really, you know, having miserable seasons would be open to selling. But you're seeing some of the other teams kind of emerge as sellers, in the Braves and the Orioles. But, like, what's out there? And how many teams are buyers? And how many teams are aggressive? You know, during the Cubs series, Michael Kay was talking about it. Well, I was talking to one of the guys over there, and it's like, what do you guys need at the deadline? Well, we could probably use maybe a starter, definitely need some bullpen arms and a right-handed hitting third baseman. And Michael Kay was like, well, that's funny, because that's exactly what the Yankees need. Now, how aggressive are the Cubs going to be? Like, you just don't know. You don't know how this trade deadline is going to shake out. It's going to be a seller's market, and you're going to probably have to overpay. And Brian Cashman treated that interview or that press conference differently than he has treated press conferences before. Typically, Brian Cashman tells you he's looking, always looking to improve, but I kind of like what we have. That has kind of been his MO, even when he was trying to be aggressive, even when you knew he was going to go out there and make moves. He didn't give you the "we are in need." And it felt like, although without using those words exactly, when he talked to the media, it felt like, listen, he even like said, we need a starter, we need a third baseman, we need bullpen arms. He's like, it's a lot. Like, we have never heard Brian Cashman go, look, I got a lot on my list. Like, it's always like, well, we'll look to the margins, we can improve every way. He's like, I got this, I got that. It's a lot. We'll see. But we're going to be in it. I was like, wow. As they cut DJ LeMahieu, like, it just felt a little bit different. And maybe that's why I'm not as bothered by these two games, because they won the 5 in a row. It just all felt different from the organization on down, and they got shut down by two pretty good left-handed pitching. It's annoying, and Max Fried had an ugly game. So it's a disappointing loss, don't get me wrong, heading into the All-Star break, an opportunity to be closer to Toronto. And now with the Red Sox winning 10 in a row, this has really become a jumbled-up American League East. And I would have liked one of those last two games, but they still won 4 out of the 6. And I feel like a lot's changed, and I feel like they're going to be aggressive at this trade deadline. But they've got things that are hurting them, and mainly the bullpen, and right now Anthony Volpe at third base. But And can I say something else too, just quickly about the Met game and the replay? I want to talk about next break. And we come back from break, I want to talk about the replay system in baseball because it's driving me crazy. Dan in Massachusetts, what's up, Dan?
Yeah, Mac the Knife. We haven't spoken in a while.
What's up, Dan?
Before I hit on Volpe, all this talk about Yankees. We need a starter, a reliever. We need a third baseman. No. Mm-hmm. Number one thing they need is a bat. A hitter in that lineup, but crying out loud. Okay? Because they're not going to be facing, Mac, they're not going to be facing the number four and number five starters in postseason. They get the top three.
So they need get the four, but yeah.
What's that? Occasionally. But they need a number three. They need another badly. As far as Volpe, I don't know if it was you that said recently that he's got range. Was it you or someone else that said he's got good range?
Yeah, no, he's got good range.
Okay.
I don't remember if I said it, but he definitely does.
Okay, I don't believe he does. Okay. But besides the bad throw he made today, he did a high school mistake, a medium hit ground ball, a shot. He waits for it instead of coming in, 100%. So he doesn't get the force out at second. Ridiculous. Yep. I saw that, and you mentioned it a little while ago.
Yep.
You know, and
that's not range. He's got he moves well. He gets to balls. That's not a problem. Look at the ball he got to on the Pete Crow Armstrong ground ball all the way on the other side of second base. He's got range.
That's not his issue. Here's my thing about range with him. He likes to dive a lot to the left and right. Well, what does he think is going to happen when he gets up with his arm that isn't strong? Does he think he's going to throw the runner out with all that diving? Come on.
Well, I don't know about that. Like sometimes he has to dive to get the ball. I don't know. I mean, look, his defense hasn't been that good. His arm strength has always been his biggest tool missing from the strength of what you'd like to see from shortstops. Over his first couple of years, he's been good enough where he gets it out quick and it hasn't really cost him. And
when he
even this year,
you're right.
Yeah, but it's and this year it's not even like I don't even see it as that. Like a lot of it has just been easy mistakes. Like even his throwing a little bit up the line, and you know sometimes I think first baseman could stay on the like because we've seen a couple where they come off the bag and tag the runner. I think sometimes first basemen just like to do that because they want to make sure they get it. Some of those throws look like they could have stayed on the bag, but it's not even his arm. It's not anything like tool wise where I go, oh, he's not a very good shortstop because he doesn't have arm strength or because he doesn't move well or because he dives too much. Like I just look at it and go, he's making mental mistakes consistently. That's the problem.
But you know something, when he got the Gold Glove, I said, I don't know if it was on your show, I said, he's as much a Gold Glover as I'm Donald Duck. But there's one thing that bothers me, Mac, is with the hitting, the batting order, I don't like the fact that they move the guys in different positions in the order, because I'm going to tell you, I feel... In my own experience, when I played ball, it's psychological sometimes. If you're batting number two in the order, you kind of you hit a different way. If they've got you batting third or fourth, you swing. It's like in your brain, you're a number four hitter, so this is what you're gonna do. You gotta overpower. A number two hitter, he puts the ball in play. At least that's the way I saw it when I used to play.
Yeah, but
what do you think?
I don't necessarily agree. I know people are hung up on this. I don't think they change approach based too much. Baseball is different these days. The best hitter and the most powerful hitter hits second in the lineup. Like they don't necessarily change their approach based on where they are. They don't. And to be totally honest with you, I looked into this and, a guy, Yankee Files on Twitter put it out too. Last year's Yankee team that everybody went nuts about how many times they move around in this lineup, the 1999 Yankees did it more. And Derek Jeter and the top three hitters in the World Series were different in every single game. And it's only a problem when they don't hit and you want to call it a problem. When they still have, and thank you for the call, they still lead the American League in runs scored. Right? The offense, while going through a slump a couple weeks ago, is still the most potent and explosive offense in the game. And they did it against Seattle, so I don't want to hear they can't do it against good pitching. Seattle just turned around and swept the Tigers. Seattle just turned around and swept the best team in the American League with the best record in baseball. Swept them. Scored a ton of runs. This is a Seattle team that's currently the third wild card and has the best starting rotation in the game, and the Yankees pounded them. After being no hit by seven, pounded the bullpen in that one game, but they pounded Gilbert to start the series. They scored a ton of runs in that entire series. Like, again, they shouldn't be moving guys around. Shouldn't be moving guys around. Again, in 1999, when the Yankees were really good, Joe Torre moved the lineup around as much as they're doing it now. Derek Jeter hitting a different spot in the lineup in almost every game of the World Series. Like, I don't think that's the problem. I really don't. Now, you could tell me why you like this guy here or that guy there. I don't think the idea that they don't have a set lineup is a major issue. I really don't. Now, you could talk about, I like Dominguez at leadoff, leave him there. That's a different conversation we could have. But the idea of just, I want the whoever it is, wherever they put them, just keep them there. That I don't think it's that big a deal. I think you think of it way more than they do. They think see ball, hit ball. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll get back with your calls. We'll talk a little bit about that Yankee lineup and the name I mentioned, Dominguez, and moving forward as we'll start to do things like, who are we expecting to have monster second halves here? And for the New York Yankees and for the New York Mets specifically, who do they need to have monster second halves? But I do agree with the caller about the offense. We'll get into that too, because it is a fine line. I don't think third base is the biggest problem for this team. The offense has been explosive. They score runs. It's one position, and we've seen how much playing defense in that position helped the Yankees over the last week and a half. But at the same time, when they lose in the postseason, and I've been saying this forever, they lose because they don't hit. How important is that bat at third base? 888-808-1019, plus something in replay that drives me absolutely nuts. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims, the home of Yankees radio, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 2:36. Mick Monagle here with you. I got you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Now, for all of you who... all of you Met fans who just think everything out of me is some sort of knock towards the Mets, even if it sounds like a compliment, deep down inside, I'm trying to knock them. I'm sure you're going to view this as a knock. This has nothing to do with the Mets. It doesn't. The Mets did nothing wrong. This has nothing to do with the Mets. But the Mets benefited twice in this Kansas City series from a umpire's review that I think flat out sucks. I'm sorry. I think it absolutely sucks. It is by far the worst. The two worst things, and we actually over the last week have seen them both. The two worst things about replay, as we get ready to see in the All-Star game for the first time ever, the challenge system and replay, which the balls and strikes to me are different. But twice... once the other thing is the Yankees, the final play at home plate. You can't celebrate anymore. Like if the final play of a game is a play at the plate or a play at first base or whatever the case, if it's even questionable, you gotta wait before you can celebrate, which sucks. It hurts the moment. We've heard it. I think it in some ways impacts the calls from the broadcaster sometimes, because you know you gotta wait to see the replay, which always bothered me. But what happened in Kansas City twice for the Mets is absolutely ridiculous. The spirit of the rule is to overturn egregious calls, not to call runners out who beat the play by 5 feet, because naturally, while they're sliding, for a half a millisecond, they might have their hand off the bag before any other part of their body touches it while they're sliding over the base and the tag is on them. I can't tell you how obnoxious that call is. I mean, I don't know. Think of how many stolen bases Ricky Henderson might not have today because of dumb calls like that. If you have to look at a replay 6 or 7 different angles, and it takes 3 minutes, and it's not even to see if the glove or the ball beat the runner, it's to see after he is clearly safe whether or not he comes off the bag for a millisecond. I think that's obnoxious. I cannot stand it. It is the worst thing about replay. I cannot take it. I don't know what it is. I understand you. I understand you got to be on the bag. I understand the letter of the law. He is out. Some of them were hard to see. I didn't even see where you're getting off some of it. Like, I just don't understand it. I can't take it. No runner who clearly beats the play. Now, look, if you overslide the bag completely, of course. If you overslide the bag completely and you're laying there off the base and then he tags you, of course. But if we're talking about a guy who clearly beat it, at the end of the play still on the bag, but during sliding over it, he possibly is off the bag for like an instant, I don't know why it bothers me so much. It drives me up a wall. Now, of course, if it benefits the Yankees in the postseason, yeah, I'll be hypocritical and go, okay, good. But I don't like it. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what it is about that play that bothers me so much, but that should never happen. That should never happen. Look at the replay. Does he slide completely off the bag? Does he beat the play? That's it. That's it. The idea that you can hold a tag on a guy while he's sliding and, you know, he might hover the bag for an instant while his hand comes off and he's waiting for his knee to touch it, like, it drives me nuts. That is the worst thing about replay, those plays right there. And I know it benefited the Mets, so I'm going to come off as a Met hater. This has nothing to do with the Mets. I just happened to see it twice because I watch all the Met games. Obnoxious. That call sucks. That is the worst thing about it. He beat the both of those runners beat the play by a mile. It's not even close. You know, we used to have the play at second base where, you know, you didn't have to just the neighborhood play at second base to save injuries or whatever. You didn't have to necessarily touch the base. Obviously, that's gone now with replay. That's fine, but my point is like at some point we have to just give the runners some acknowledgement that it's very difficult to make sure you stay on the bag every millisecond that you slide over it. It's obnoxious. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, buddy?
Well, you know, I just, before I get into my point, you know, what you said, you know, it benefits the Yankees, but I don't like it. When I think of players, I think of Roger Clemens. That's all. I just wanted to say that.
When you think of what?
Anyway.
When you think of what players?
I think of Roger Clemens.
When you think of what?
It benefited the Yankees.
Oh.
You said it benefit, you know, that rule, if it benefits the Yankees, then I, you know, it's all right.
Well, I didn't say it's all right. I'm saying I'll be hypocritical enough to just not complain about it in the moment, but I still do hate it.
Fair enough. And when I think of players, that's who I think of more than anybody is. Roger, the only guy.
Oh, you hated him when he was on the other team.
Oh, my God. You know what? He's the only guy who Derek Jeter. I'll never. It's, you know, I don't necessarily get to see all these moments or anything, but I will never.
Oh, Steve, you gone?
He threw it sideways, and
I'm sorry, Steve. We got to let you go, bud. Try and call back. Rami, if Steve calls back, see if you can put him back up, but we got to move on. Yeah, look, Roger Clemens was definitely one of those guys. You hated him, and then it ends up being one of your favorite teammates when he's on your team. You have guys like that all the time. Like, I could imagine, as a Yankee fan, I couldn't stand Dustin Pedroia. Couldn't stand him. He never saw a strike in his life. He's never been out on the base paths in his life. He fought everything. He was just a annoying, obnoxious, you know, tiny little player. I hated him. I hated everything about him. But I can imagine if you're a Boston Red Sox, he won an MVP. And plus, that scrappy nature, you love it when it's your guy. He's your guy. He might be an idiot, but he's your idiot. That's not uncommon. And again, I'm not saying that I wouldn't. Like, if someone said to me in the moment, like, do you hate that about replay? I would still say, yes, I hate that about replay. But I'm not, you know, if it benefits the Yankees, I'll at least go, all right, they lucked out, but I hate that. Let's go to Dan in Manhattan. What's up, Dan?
Chris, it's funny that you mentioned Dustin Pedroia. Have you seen that social media post where a Big Papi never knew his name for all the time they were on the team together?
No.
He called him Pee-wee, and one day he heard somebody say, hey, Dustin. And he said, what is he calling you? He said, Dustin. He said, why? He said, that's my name. That's your name? All these years I've been calling you Pee-wee.
He said,
you thought Pee-wee was my name? But as far as replay, I don't know if anybody's mentioned it, if you mentioned it. How could there not be a 30-second limit? If you can't tell in 30 seconds,
I agree.
You can't overturn the call. That's ridiculous.
I agree, and that's not even my argument with this particular call, but yes, I don't disagree. It shouldn't be. It's supposed to be to overturn the egregious error. It's not supposed to look at it a million different ways. Now, it's a fine line, though. I understand wanting to get the call right. Like, I understand the argument of we have the technology, we have the replays. We want to make sure we get the call right. What are we doing if we're not making sure we get the call right? So I understand that, but I don't disagree. I think it should be viewed in a different manner. It should be viewed as, I'm going to look at it a couple times. You know, you want to make it 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute, fine, max. And if you can't blatantly see that it needs to be overturned, then stick with the call on the field. But this one in particular, the runners who beat the play. This is not avoiding a tag at first. This isn't the Volpe slide or, you know, the traditional swim move that guys do where they kind of like give the lead hand to like show it to the defender and then pull it back and reach out with the other hand. Like if you're clever enough to do that and you get in safe, then you're safe. But, or, you know, if the tag is, you know, beats the runner, fine. And you can prove it through replay, fine. But when the runner clearly beats the play, and we are talking about sliding over the bag, not sliding past it, sliding over it, and for a half a second, you might see daylight between his shin and the base. Like, that bothers me. I can't stand it. Let's go to Chris in Bridgeport. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning. I got two questions.
Yeah.
In the Yankees or the Mets, who has the better farm system to make the trade, to make the trade?
The Mets are a little bit deeper than the Yankees farm system.
Okay. Second question. You got a lot of these pitchers. They're getting Tommy John surgery.
Sounds like Max Kranich is going to have Tommy John.
Yeah. But why aren't they teaching these pitchers how to throw knuckleballs and stuff like that, you know, to save their arms?
It's not something I don't think you could just mix in. Thank you for the call. We have not seen, knuckleballers have kind of gone the way of the dodo. We have not seen knuckleballers anymore. I'm not sure why.
So has the phrase gone the way of the dodo?
No, I keep that phrase. I keep it going. Gone the way of the dodo, my friend. I don't know why nobody throws knuckleballs anymore. I talk about Red Sox, and it's funny because now obviously the Red Sox have won 10 in a row. I hate them. I despise them. I hate Alex Cora. I just talked about Dustin Pedroia. Despite him being, and I'm not just saying this because of his, because he recently, him and his wife have tragically passed away far too young. But for whatever reason, I was always a fan, and I was okay watching him pitch. Tim Wakefield. And even though he killed the Yankees, he would come in any situation. And, you know, it's funny because now, you know, if I was doing sports radio then, do you remember Tim Wakefield came in that series in 04, and Veritek had no idea how to catch him, and Joe Torre didn't send the runner once, just not once. Makes you nuts. But Tim Wakefield came in and just absolutely shut down the Yankees. And yes, Aaron Boone got him in that moment, but Tim Wakefield was one of those guys. It was hard to hate. As great as much as he killed the Yankees, he would just come in and throw those knuckleballs, and you knew you were in for it. Like, it is, and it is cool to watch a knuckleballer go to work. I do miss that a little bit in baseball. I do miss that. And then R.A. Dickey took it to a different level where he was throwing high 80 or at least mid 80s knuckleballs, and that felt new and different, and that was cool too. But Tim Wakefield, he's someone, even though he killed the Yankees in a Red Sox uniform, you couldn't hate him just watching him up there throwing these floaters. It was incredible. And I do think that that's something that baseball could use. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's just, you know, we play for velocity these days. And again, and it's come up too. Like, here's another argument we're seeing a lot in baseball. Like, oh, it's what happened. Like, I did it with Jerry in the morning. I don't understand. 90 pitches, 100 pitches. Why doesn't he go out there and finish a no hitter with 100 pitches? Why doesn't he do, like, that's fine. But don't blame the managers. That's all I want to say, because you know me. It's not just a Boone defense. This is all managers' defense. Like, we blame the managers for freaking everything. It drives me crazy. But, like, the managers aren't the ones to blame. The organizations don't train these pitchers to do it. So when you complain about, oh, why does Mendoza not take him out? Now, 90 pitches the other day in the Baltimore series with Peterson. Okay, maybe that's a bit dramatic, but he really wanted that first game of the doubleheader. He wanted that first game of the doubleheader, and he thought the bullpen was the better option. So, like, there are some. I'm not saying you can never quibble with a manager for taking out guys, but like the idea that, oh, why stop him at 100? Why is this magical number? Why? Like, it's not on the manager. He can't ask players to do what they haven't been trained to do. You need, if your complaint is how baseball in general is now viewing starting pitching, like, you would have to break this down to the minor league level, college level, high school level, to start changing how pitchers can go past 100 pitches. This is not just like, oh, let him go, Aaron Boone. It's only 115 pitches. What's the difference? Like, these guys don't do it, and they're not going to risk injuring them. So let's stop killing the managers for it. It's more about how baseball treats these starting pitchers. They don't ask them to do it. They go out there, and here's the other thing. It's not just the 100 pitch. Like, you got to look at it in a completely different light. When pitchers were throwing, for the most part, 140, 150, or whatever odd number you want to bring up where pitchers used to go deep, he threw two games of a doubleheader in 1936. Yeah, he also didn't go full out every pitch. Like, that's what they're trained to do now. Like, there's still a couple who've kind of got grandfathered. And you watch Verlander, although he's been terrible this year. He'll come out, and the first couple fastballs of the game will be 94, 93. And then when he needs to dial it up later in the game, it's 97, 98. Most guys don't do that. Pitchers are now taught, throw as hard as you can for as long as you can. They don't save anything. Their arms are under much more duress than pitchers who used to throw 150, because they would just throw 90-mile-an-hour fastballs, and they try to put some sink on it. And, you know, they wouldn't go and extend full out. I talk about this conversation. Whenever this comes up, I always remember, I forget which All-Star game it was, and oddly enough, the All-Star game is coming up, but Brad Penny, he was a pitcher for the Marlins, and I think he was the starting All-Star. He was starting the game, or maybe, I can't remember if he was starting the game, he was the first pitcher, it doesn't matter, but Brad Penny, All-Star starting pitcher of the Marlins, threw about 94, 95. He comes out in the All-Star game, and he's pumping 99. And it was like, what? I remember everyone was like, what is this? What is this? And then they had guys mic'd up in the dugout. And as soon as he came off the field, all of the pitchers came up to him. And they're like, oh my, you're letting it go? Like, how often are you going to let it go? I mean, what can you get up to if you let it go? Like, let it go. And I remember thinking, oh, so they don't throw as hard as they can. Those days are gone. They come up. You're never going to see a pitcher who throws 97, 98, 96, 97 miles an hour show up in an All-Star game and go, oh, I'll pump 101. Like, they don't have it. Whatever they have, you see on a nightly basis. So it's not only the amount of pitches, it's how they're throwing the pitches. It's the effort level they are putting in every single pitch from the first pitch of the game through those 100 pitches. It's a different world, so stop blaming the managers for it all the time. Let's go to, did I take Dan already? No. Yeah, I did. Steve in Rockland's back. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris, thanks for getting back to me, man. So this is what I called about. So right now, all of the teams, first, second place teams, are clustered between, I think, in the loss column, 38 is Detroit, and then, you know, 43 like the Yankees have, which is, as we've seen in the last month, excuse me, you know, somebody goes on a winning streak, et cetera, and boom, you know, you're right there. So now the Yankees have 66 games left, and 38 and 28, which seems imminently doable. I think that, you know, that could be a conservative number. That puts the Yankees at 91 and 71.
Right.
Do you think that's going to be enough? Do you think a 91, you know, 91 wins could bag them the division? Do you think that?
No, probably not.
Okay. You know.
It could. It could. I wouldn't be happy with 91. I think it gets them into the playoffs. It gets them into the playoffs.
Well, okay.
But I don't know if it wins them the division. Toronto is playing 573 baseball. Let me see what that projects out to. Let's just see.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Yeah, that projects out to 93 wins. Getting it, 91's not impossible to win the division, but I think I would shoot for 94. So the Yankees have to do a little bit better than that. Now, if you look at their schedule in August, it does lighten up. They play the White Sox twice. And they're going to have to play better against the division, that's for sure. So, so maybe 91 with well-placed victories, 91 with sweeping Toronto at the end of July here, could go a long way to helping that with 91. But 10 games more over 500, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. 91 doesn't sound like enough. It gets them into the postseason. But that's probably not going to be good enough. And that's the thing about this first half for both these teams is, as much as I still think they're good, as much as I still think they're both likely to win the division, as much as I think they're both playoff teams, clearly, a lot of it is squandered a better opportunity. The Yankees were 7 games up on Toronto. I'm not sure if they were ever 7 up on for the division in totality. They might have been. It might have been as high as 7. But I know they were at least 7 up on Toronto, who's now that's a 9-game swing since Father's Day. A lot of this first half is about squandering opportunity for both of them. I think they're going to find their way by the end of it, but this should be a hell of a lot easier for the Yankees right now. It should have been a hell of a lot easier for the Mets. I think they're good, and we'll get into some guys who need to perform in the second half, and we're going to talk about this trade deadline until it happens, but the story of the first half for both of these teams is squandering big leads. Mets were up 5.5 games on Philadelphia. That's a 6-game swing as they're down 0.5 a game. They've blown it. They've 6 and the Yankees 9. In the last month and a half, the second half is going to be a story of overcoming squandering the first half. That's what it is. They both should be in a far better position. Both teams should be in far better positions. Now, the Mets had some injuries to the rotation that led to it, but their offense has been their main issue all year. And it's still their main issue now. It's why they lost these games. It's why they lost yesterday. And let's be honest, the pitching pitched really well. It's why they lost in Baltimore. It's why they've, you know, struggled here. Mainly, it's been the offense. And scoring with runners in scoring position. Or hitting in runners in scoring position. They've got to do a hell of a lot better. And hopefully you're starting to see a turnaround from one of the players. We'll get to that next. 888-808-1019. Two players on each team. You're looking for impact beyond the trade deadline to really improve the second half with these clubs. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme. Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Yeah. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.